come with hearts of gratitude as we enter the word. We do not enter into it presumptuously, but rather we enter into it with reverence, fully conscious of the limitations of our human minds to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into this written word. Consequently, we recognize our need for supernatural help and therefore ask for it. Pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, and indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Then we further ask that you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all those who will hear me physically, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an eternal work in every heart, including mine, so that our wills will become more humble, minds will be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions will be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Further ask and pray, Lord God, that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God will be released in great measure. That power will follow the words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. According to your word, say you sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let it deliver men from destruction. Let it heal. Let it break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy so that I will be faithful as I deliver this word, indeed doing it with precision, redeeming the time and saying only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving all the blessings I mentioned that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me and said, Amen. 1 John chapter 3, we're going to continue our study in God's word. In our last lesson, we stopped in verses 23 and 24, 22 really. You know, where we were talking about, you know, receiving from God by keeping God's commandments, and went on to elaborate that the commandment, God didn't leave us room to interpret the commandment the way we like it. You know, he tells us specifically what it is. He said, one, it is to believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. And we brought out the fact that that just means to use the name of Jesus to continue to receive the life of God. We receive the life of God when we got born again. That's what got us born again. But we don't stop there. We're supposed to continue to receive the life of God using the name of Jesus. That's where we get, in Jesus' name we have life from. According to John chapter 20, verse 31, it says, you know, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life through his name. It's a twofold application. The application to be born again, that's at the beginning, but more importantly, you know, after you get born again, eternal life is something you should continue to receive consciously, you know, in great measure into your spirit, because as you get into your inner man, it's like food in a sense. You know, when your body eats physically, when you eat food, all that food is converted to energy. Well, that's not correct. That's not totally correct. A lot of the food, some of the food is converted to energy. Some of it is used to build tissue and build, you know, your physical body. So all your muscles, your blood, all the internal things inside your body. I'm told that medical science will tell us, the doctors, the physicians here, we have some experts here, they'll tell us that every 7 years your body changes all its cells, practically, except there are a few exceptions like the eye and, you know, there's some exceptions. But generally speaking, all the cells of your body, you know, some cells even just 24 hours, you know, some of the red blood cells and all of that, you know. So the point is this, as it is in the physical, so it is in the spiritual. You got born again, you understand, you receive the life of God, but you continue to receive the life of God. And now I've got God's two things. One, it builds you up spiritually. And then two, it gives you strength and energy to pray. And the reason why so many Christians cannot pray for any appreciable amount of time, particularly in the spirit, you know, you find that, you know, majority, I've been around for a while, you know, I'll be 40 years as a Christian in 2019. I got born again in 1979. I first got born again, well, we give all the glory, you know, but I'm using it to make a point, you know. around Passover, around my birthday. It was April. I don't remember exactly the day. You know, and then I got filled with the Holy Spirit the same year when I went to England. I got that one. I remember is November 11, 1979. I can't forget it because I spoke in Hebrew. You know, so that was a landmark event for me. But the point is this: I've been around. You know, and this is a universal truth. Very few Christians can pray continuously in the Spirit for an hour. And it's not because we're special. No, it's a spiritual law. It's like flying an aeroplane. If you don't put fuel in it, the aeroplane or a car, there's a limit to how far it can go. So it is in the Spirit. If you don't fill your heart with the life of God, you know, your spirit will not have a sufficient fuel to be able, in quotes, to be able to pray for any appreciable amount of time. And then we won't have the strength. Because there are two things the life of God does. It's converted to strength, and it's also converted to power. Strength is for your internal spiritual capacity and power. You know, we wrestle against, not against the Lord. You have to be strong. That's why the man said, be strong in the Lord. Be strong. Be strong in the grace. Be strong in the Lord. He's telling you the same things. You know, so we need the life of God for strength, inner strength, and the capacity of our spirits, you know, on one hand. And then we also need it for energy and power. Greek word is dunamis, you know. That's where we get the English word dynamo or dynamic, which is something that is moving, that has energy, that has power, you know. And that's where we get all those words from. And so we need the life of God for that. And the reason why so many Christians can't pray for any appreciable amount of time in the Spirit now. That's why you find that a lot of prayer forums are diluted. They use it to talk. There's a lot of talking unnecessary. Then praying the understanding and then singing. Now, it's not as if any of those things are wrong, but if you don't do it in the right proportion, you will not get the effect you should get. You know, I hear people say, oh, you know, praise is a weapon. Of course it's a weapon, but it's a weapon that works on the foundation of prayer. Amen. Jehoshaphat. Remember? They send the praises out, but don't forget what they did first. They first of all fasted and prayed. It was out of the fasting and praying, the word of the Lord came and said that they should now send the praises. The fasting and the praying had laid the foundation to make the praise effective. To our mouth, through two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, praised God. Mm-mm. They prayed and sang praises to God. The prayer came before. You can't run away from this stuff, folks. You know, the same thing in Acts chapter 6. You know, when we're going to choose the deacons. You know, Peter said, it is not right. He's talking about apostles. He's talking about people who are spiritual fathers. The people who are providing covering, you know, for the congregation. He said, it's not right for us to leave the prayer and then go and start serving tables. It's going to take out of our time. He says, we must give ourselves. And this is the word. This is not Olubi's word. He says, continually. True pastors give themselves continually. It's continually. Two things. One, prayer and the ministry of the word. And look at the order. Prayer. There is no effective ministry of the word if there's not an effective ministry of prayer. John Wesley said it this way. I like it. He said, you have no business talking to men about God until you've not talked to God about men. So you talk to God about men first before you go to men and talk to men about God. And the reason why a lot of our ministries and teachings today are so shallow and they don't have depth of revelation and strength and power that can convert lives, it can change people, is because of this fact. And that's and all that comes back to this issue of the life of God. And so that's why he's very specific. He says, believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and then love one another. You cannot walk in love if you don't have the life of God. Or let's put it this way. The degree to which you can walk in love will be determined by the measure of the life of God that is operating, not in your spirit, but in your soul and in your body. Because the love is operating in the soul and in the body. The mind, the will, and the emotions. You can't just love with your spirit. It's what is inside your spirit that comes through the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions, and the body that now makes you do the things you should do. And so if you don't have the life of God in sufficient measure in your spirit, it doesn't affect your soul. That's why you have carnal Christians. That's why you can have a Christian born again, spirit-filled. There's no doubt about that. Well, nobody denies that, you know, but you see him behaving like the devil. Envy, strife, immorality. Paul talked about this in the 1 Corinthians. You know, he said, I could not write unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto babies in Christ. It's carnal. He said, you are yet carnal. He said, I can't teach you deep things. I can only give you, you know, milk. I can't give you, and by reason of time, I should be able to give you meat. He said, because, you know, you don't have the life of God, I'm just paraphrasing, in sufficient measure. See, if you don't have the life of God in sufficient measure in your spirit, it's going to affect the way, the degree of revelation, the degree of strength, the degree of power, you know, your ability to walk in love takes wisdom, it takes compassion, it takes power. You know why some people find it very difficult to forgive? They don't have power. Because forgiveness is an act of your will. If your will is aligned in the wrong direction through, you know, offense or strife or whatever. If your will is, you know, to bring it back, it takes the power of God. If you don't have the power of God, you find it very difficult to forgive. It takes the power of God. How do you think Jesus could say, Father, forgive them? When they were nailing him to the cross. Because he had power in him. He had prayed that thing through the night before. That's why I spent 3 hours in prayer in Gethsemane. If you want to be able to forgive like Jesus, you have to pray like that. Prayer, you know, all these things, forgiveness, love, kindness, patience, gentleness. You think they're weak? They are the strongest forces in the universe. You know what the Bible says? It's just come to me, you know. You know what it says? It says in one of the scriptures, in Proverbs somewhere, it says that greater is a man that can control his temper than a guy that can take a city. Imagine how much power, I'm talking about physical power now, it takes to capture a city. All the guns and the artillery and aeroplanes and whatever it is that you have to use to capture a city. Now the Bible says what's coming out of your spirit is more powerful than that. If you can control your temper. This is that's real power. That's real power, folks. It's a shame, Pastor G, that majority of the church has majored on the thinking that power is in the gifts. The power is really in the fruit. The truth is that the power is in both places. But the thing is, you know, if you don't have the fruit, you can't be trusted with the gifts. And that's why we don't see too much of the gifts, and the ones we see are fake. Hello. Hello. You find people doing fake word of knowledge, fake word of fake healing, fake all of this, you know, just to get money. Because you can't even push a button and start those things. It has to be as the Spirit wills. And the Spirit will not will if your heart is not right. I get that later on, but, you know, I'm just getting ahead of myself. You know, where it says, you know, in John 15:7, it says, you know, if ye abide in me, but it didn't stop there, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, not what God wills, what you will. Now, of course, it's God. Don't misunderstand me. But the part is that your will and God's will have become aligned by virtue of the word that is inside you. So you will never ask anything outside the will of God. God trusts you so much. You know, that's what we're going to see in what we call the manifestation of sons of God. Hello. Where we're going to have Christians that have grown, that are growing spiritually to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When you get to that level, God's not going to start censoring what you ask. You just ask it, it will be done. You will ask what you will. You know why? He trusts you now. Because you have his character. You have his nature. You will never ask anything contrary to his will. And that's why you got to put the word inside you. And the word aligns your will with the will of God permanently. So you're constantly, you know, like Jesus, the leper comes to him and says, you can heal me if you will. Jesus didn't start crying and banding the devil and all of that. He just said, I will. Watch this. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He says, you know, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray in understanding. Just like when you got the Spirit with measure, the earnest of the Spirit, and it gives you the ability to speak in tongues as you will. When you get the Spirit without measure, it will give you the ability to ask what you will as you will. You can ask what you will as just as you will. It will happen. You find that in the Lord Jesus Christ. He just, he just, as I will. That's what it means. They say we shall grow up into Him in all things, just like Him. Amen. And that's why we need to put this life inside us. Are you following me? And we mentioned this. It's good for me to repeat it today. You know, of course you can. You know, every time, for example, as I'm preaching to you now, you're getting the life of God. It's like, you know, what when you get water when it rains. Yeah, everybody gets water when it rains. In fact, technically, and this is true, even when it's not rain, when it's dew. When you get up early in the morning, do you understand? You can get a little bit amount. That's what they do in all these, what do they call them? In these geographical, these geography weather stations. You know, every morning there's a certain amount of water. So they can measure the humidity and the water. You know, there's a particular instrument, I've forgotten the name, you know, that you can use. The barometer, and others, they actually it collects the dew, and then you can actually measure it. So water falls every morning. Hello, when it rains, there's water, but you can't live on that. You can't live on rainwater. Now you can try, and you will live, but your level of life will be very low. You know, back in the olden days, before the white man came, you know, and even in the white man's land, before they had technology and all of that, people lived, the way they got water was when it rained, number one, and then if you have a stream, at best, they dig a well. And even the well, like the well of Jacob's well, do you understand, the whole town goes there with buckets. Then they take, they put the bucket down, they take water out of the well, they take it home, they put it in earthen vessels, and that's what they bath with, that's what they eat. In fact, they don't bath without water because it's not enough. Everybody goes to the stream to go and have your bath. Then they now come back to the house, to use that water, and then they boil it to try and, and all of that, Try living like that. You can, but it's very inefficient. And you're prone to all kinds of waterborne diseases and all kinds. That's why infant mortality used to be so high before we had technology. But today, with technology, we now know there's water in the earth. There's a water table. So what you do now, you do a borehole. And then you drill down and hit the water level. You put a pipe in it and then you put a pump. And you put electrical power. And then it pumps the water up, puts it inside overhead tanks. And brother, you got all the water you want. You have water and you have it more abundantly. Spiritually, it's exactly the same thing. You can get life by me preaching to you. You can get life by worshiping. You can get life. You get anytime you interact with God, there is a transmission of life. The question is the measure. So that's why God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these you might be partakers. These are people who are already partakers. He wasn't writing to the world, he was writing to the church. People were already born again. He said, but with these promises now, you can, it's like a guy with a borehole. You now go and you go and get life. That's what we call drawing life. You now go and get life. You can now store it. That's why you use many life scriptures. Then you store it. So throughout the day, you're getting from that to supply. You want to pray. You want to bind the devil. You want to do anything. You can do it. There's enough life. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So those are the two things that we need to walk in love. To keep the commandment. We have to keep the commandment of life. Which is, to believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. And then it is on the foundation of that we now love one another, and He qualified it as He gave us commandment. I've taught this over the years. Love is not the Old Testament commandment. That's why it says a new commandment. It means that it was an old one. The old one was love your neighbor as you love yourself. But the new one is love your neighbor as God loves them. That's a different ball game. You know, so I'm going to need divine wisdom. I'm going to need divine compassion. I'm going to need divine power to love as God loves. And it's, you know, I like it, Pastor G. He didn't give us an option. He called it a commandment. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not a suggestion. It's not a good idea. It's a commandment. Hallelujah. Sadly and regrettably, majority of Christians don't obey this commandment. They don't obey it. They don't even believe. They don't even believe in the first part. You know, to believe on the name of, oh, well, you know, I'm already born again. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about born again. He's already talking to born again people. Like I said this last week, you know. Like Jesus said, he said, whose son is the Christ? They say, how does the scribe say that, the Christ is David's son? Because, you see, they read the Bible and they don't think. How can you say, yeah, I know the Bible says that. I know the Bible said that Christ is David's son because he descended genealogically from David. But the Lord Jesus now questions that and says, why do the scribes say that Christ is David's son? If David, that's why you need the whole Bible. You see, if you just read one part of the Bible, yes, Jesus is David's son by genealogical descent. But don't forget that those genealogies are natural. And Jesus was never born of a natural father. He was not the son of Joseph. Neither was he the son of Mary. Now, Mary was a surrogate mother. That would upset our Catholic brethren. But she just carried the baby. The baby wasn't from her. Of course, he used her eggs. Do you understand? But the sperm that fertilized the egg was divine. Born of the Word of God. He says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing that shall be conceived in you shall be called the Son of God. Not the Son of David. Now, genealogically, because God gave a promise to David that, you know, through him the Messiah will come. So it's right, but it's not the whole truth. You have to now take the whole Bible, and it's the only way and the only place you can get that thing is that one scripture. It's in Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. He says, if David in spirit, I like that, called him Lord. He said, how then is he his son? It's the same sense I'm giving you now. This scripture is not for Christians. It's for Christians, but it's not talking about using Jesus' name to get eternal life, to get born again. It cannot be. Because it's right, people are already born again. Remember, chapter 2 said, my brethren. He's talking to Christians. He says, you know, these things write you unto you, that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship with Jesus Christ as his son, and the Father. He was talking to Christians from the beginning, 1 John chapter 1. Everything's been to Christians. So he's not going to jump from chapter 3 to unbelievers. That's dishonesty. So the word there is for us. So we now use the name to draw life. Literally, that's what we're supposed to do. To draw it just like you draw water from a well or a borehole. And that's why you draw plenty of it. So your heart is full of the life of God. It's like putting it in a story over a head storage tank. So have you noticed something about Jesus? That anytime they brought a problem to him, he didn't do any long prayer. More than all of those long prayers are full of unbelief. You don't find him panicking, binding the devil. How many people know Jesus spoke in tongues but in private? You never see him, you know, blah, blah, blah. You don't see him doing all those gymnastics. Amen. There's power there already. He just says, I will. Peace, be still. He's drawing out of his storehouse. And then when he's done that for a long time, like a day, he will withdraw. Then he will pray. Then he will, thank you, he will refill. Then he will come back again. That's the same pattern. Is it clear? If you can't say amen, say oh me. Praise the Lord. Like Papa Hagin would say, but it's so anyhow. Amen. All right. And so, in verse 24, and he said, he that keepeth his commandments, I didn't hear you, verse 24. We didn't get to verse 24, so I'll finish that and go to chapter 4 this morning. It says, and he that keepeth his commandments, I don't know. Hello? I didn't hear you. I said, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Now, keep it in his context. He's talking about the commandment of life and the commandment of love. So he says, if you, let me paraphrase that in a simpler way. If you practice keeping these commandments, you are actively dwelling in him, and he is actively dwelling in you. I had to paraphrase it like that to get what the Holy Spirit is saying. Every Christian already dwells in Jesus. Amen. But it is not in every Christian that Jesus is active. I didn't say he's not there. He's there, but he can be dormant. He's there. Your spirit. But because you're not keeping the commandments, he's not active in you. So what is his character, his nature, his power that is in your spirit is not affecting the mind, the will, the emotions, and the body. So even though he's there, he's dormant and kind of locked up. Hello. It's in that sense you can understand that scripture, or else it doesn't make any sense. Hello? Because every Christian already is dwelling in Jesus anyway. So that if by keeping the commandment of life and love, you are actively dwelling in Christ, and Christ is actively dwelling in you. And then he tells us something. I like that last phrase. You know, there is no tongues there, but that's what he's talking about. You know, and he says, and hereby we know. Turn to your neighbor and say, we know. We don't think so. We don't hope so. We know so. Hallelujah. Hereby we know that he abideth in us. Again, he's living, he's active, he's operational in us. By how? His spirit that gives us. So now, tongues is the supernatural physical evidence of the abiding active dwelling of the Holy Spirit. He's active. The more you pray in tongues, the more active he is. The less you pray in tongues, the less active he is. Because anytime you pray in tongues, it's him who's doing the prayer. The Spirit helps our infirmities, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings and also with tongues. The Bible says, you know, they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So when you're speaking in tongues, the Spirit is operational. That's why he gave us tongues. So that's how you know. So I'm not hoping to have the Holy Spirit. I don't think I have the Holy Spirit. I know I have the Holy Spirit. Why? So do you. Hallelujah. What is it then? I will pray in the Spirit and I will pray in the understanding. I know I have the Holy Spirit. You know, and I'll say this, because this is an argument a lot of the evangelical brethren use. Our Baptist brethren and others, you know, and rightly so. I agree with them with some of their conclusions. I certainly don't agree with their hypothesis, if I can call it that. But I agree with their conclusion. You see, they see a lot of tongue-talking Christians who misbehave. So they now say, well, come on, if this tongues thing is as powerful and as important as people say, how come this guy who speaks in tongues tells lies? Oh, I know one pastor who speaks in tongues, he committed adultery. And then another pastor who speaks in tongues, he did this and he stole money. So they began to, you know, because of the misbehavior of certain Christians, they now cast, you know, aspersion on speaking in tongues and even doubt its importance. Smart satanic strategy. But I'm going to give you scripture that's going to set you free from that. Number one, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. Simply because I like the way Kenneth Copeland said it. I listened to Kenneth Copeland many, many years. I still listen to him, you know, years ago. He said, the fact that somebody crashed his aeroplane doesn't mean there's something wrong with flying. Come on, folks. How can I say because somebody drove an aeroplane and he crashed it, therefore I will no longer fly. And flying is not important and it has no advantages simply because some people died. It's just a stupid, You know, to say, I don't believe in tongues because that guy there speaking in tongues, he told a lie. And this other guy there speaking in tongues, he committed adultery. And this other guy there spoke in tongues, he stole money. They just crashed their planes. But it does not mean flying technology is not advantageous. So what am I going to do? I'm going to learn how to fly and not crash. And if you want to test it, you walk, I'll fly. And we'll find out who will get to England first. When we leave Nigeria at the same time. I got a prophecy for you. It's a prophetic word. Thus said the Lord, you won't get there. Jesus would have come, the millennium would be over, and you'd still be trying to get to England. Hello? That's how silly it is to say because somebody did something wrong. You know, sure, you can misuse tongues. And the Bible has it there. He said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, he says, it profits me nothing. I'm just making noise. So that does not do away with the fact that tongues is real. The same Paul said, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. I would that you all speak in tongues. So the tongue is very important. But you can misuse it. Do you notice that I'm going to get to chapter 4 now, closing chapter 3. That's why he said, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, hereby know we that his spirit dwelleth in us. In other words, he's presuming that the foundation of love is there. Amen. Then you then know the spirit is dwelling in you. Amen. In other words, the tongues will not be effective if the foundation of love is not there. Amen. And life. That's the implication of that statement. You know, I don't know about you whether you know this or not, but God is the smartest lawyer on the planet. Jesus is called an advocate. You know, in those who study law, you know, I have two lawyers in my house, Moya and Joshua, and they're always trying to straighten me out. Praise the Lord. Now I do something, I say, Daddy, be very careful. That can be used against you in a court of law. I said, don't practice on me. But seriously speaking, you know, check this book out. It's legally watertight. Check the Bible out. It is legally watertight. Like I've just proved to you now. See, you can know he abideth in you by spirit that dwelleth in you only if you keep the commandments. Don't keep the commandments, then that becomes, you know, it's no longer as effective. That is why it is possible to have the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, and it will not be effective if you are not keeping the commandments and he's not living and active and operational in you. Amen. Three amens. Amen. But it's still okay anyway. Amen. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Praise the Lord. All right, so now let's get to chapter 4. That's the really good part. Chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved! If you're beloved here, give me a clap, give me a wave offering. No, not a clap offering, so we don't disturb the service. Give me a wave offering. Hallelujah. Amen. If the person next to you is waving, say, beloved, how are you? All right, beloved, believe not every spirit. Oh my God. Pastor G, keep it in context. Where are we coming from? We're coming from chapter 3, verse 24. Hereby know we. He's talking about tongues. He's talking about manifestations. He's talking about gifts of the Spirit. Keep it in its context. Hereby, beloved, believe not every spirit. Remember, the verse before said, we know he dwelleth in us by his spirit that dwelleth. It is in that, you have to keep it in its context. This is the thought pattern of the Holy Spirit is, speaking in tongues is very important. That's how you know. However, don't believe all tongues. Don't believe all manifestations. That's what he's saying. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Another translation says test. Whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Oh, they'll speak in tongues. Do you know the tongues? Not only the tongues of, it's tongues of men and of angels, but they're also fallen angels. So fallen angels have their own tongues. Holy Micah, shaka, 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 shaka. Holy Gabriel, holy this, holy that. And they speak in tongues. See, the fact it's supernatural doesn't mean it's God. Because Satan himself has become like an angel of light. For everything God has, Satan has a counterfeit. Satan has no, he's not original. He can only copy what God has taught him, what he learned from God. So, for tongues, there's the devil's tongues. Hello? For tongues and interpretation, there's the devil's own. All the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. For healing, there's the devil's own. For prosperity, there's the devil's own. Hello? Word of knowledge, there's the devil's own. Word of wisdom, there's the devil's own. So when I see a manifestation, I don't just start shouting hallelujah. I test it. We're told to. So many Christians are so gullible. That's because of a lack of knowledge, lack of spirituality, and refusal to take responsibility. Hello? No, it's everything is not. It's just because, you know. And I tell you something, it's not only people who are unbelievers, even inside the church. Have you forgotten Saul? Let's start this way. Who called Saul? God. I'll say it out loud. The devil didn't call Saul. God called Saul. Who anointed Saul? Who prophesied through Saul? God. But did the devil also prophesy through Saul? Yes. Someone said, that's in the Old Testament. Oh, don't be fooled. These things are written for our admonition, to whom the ends of the world are. If a New Testament Christian, if he doesn't continue to walk in truth, and I'm going to show it to you in a minute, you know, and in all of that, he can yield to the devil. And he could have had original word of knowledge from God, and because he wants to perform and make money, and he starts doing something, the Satan just accommodates him. Oh, we've seen it over down through the years. I remember a story. I'm going to get to it in a minute, the word in a minute. But I just remember a story. You know, we learned this from our spiritual fathers. Now, so I thank God for Kenneth Hagin and all the experiences they had. And people like Old Wigglesworth, you know, they all died before. Okay, Hagin is dead now, but, you know, people like Wigglesworth even died before we got born again. You know, but we still heard stories about all of them. All of them would tell us stories about these things. Men of God, genuine, born-again, spirit-filled. Correct ministry at first. Kenneth Hagin tells a story of a particular man, you know, who used to have word of knowledge, you know, and healing. And he would call word of knowledge out, you know, and the person would be sick, and the sickness would go, they would go to the doctor, they would check it, and the thing would disappear. And that's great when the Spirit is in operation. But because they have a reputation, then they now bring crowds. Then they now want to perform when the Spirit is not in operation. Because after all, the people came to see a performance. And you can't disappoint them. So you now try to start moving things when the Holy Ghost is not moving them. Then you open the door to the devil. And that happened to quite a number of people, you know. And we're going to have, you know, and bring things. And Ken Hagin reports in one meeting, you know, and the Holy Ghost told him, he said, that's not God. And this man continued and, the, you know, people got money and fame and everything. But the guy died. After some years, he died. They warned him. God and Lindsay warned him. Pastor Hagin warned him. You know, he wouldn't listen. He said, he's a prophet. God has spoken to him. He's the Elijah to come. But he didn't start like that. That's what happens when you veer off. And that's why my physical gifts of spirit, as wonderful as they are, they must be tested. Say, Pastor, what happens if there's no manifestation? Teach the word. So simple. The Bible says God will confirm his word with signs following. If there's no special manifestation, preach the word and teach people how to use the word and how to get born again. How to act on the word in faith and how to pray. And they'll get miracles in their lives. They will not necessarily get it when you are performing. You don't come to church to come and perform. Hallelujah. You come to the house of God, the minister. This is not just for pastors or teachers, for all the fivefold ministry. You know, you come here to feed the people the word of God. Because that word that you feed them will produce miracles in their lives. It may not happen while they're in church. Build them up and give them an inheritance among them that are sanctified. And that's what you should do 90% of the time. The 10% is the performance. And we try and change it around and make it 90% performance and 10% word. And that's why we have the mess we have today. And so, let's go on. He says, but try the spirits, I didn't hear you, whether they are of God. Turn to your neighbor, say, not all spiritual manifestations are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Verse 2. We're going to get up to verse 4, possibly 6. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. I like the Bible. Like I told you earlier, it's legally watertight. It's telling you how to identify. Now, this particular statement looks very simple on the surface, but I'm going to give you the present day application of it. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Next verse, we're going to come back to it. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And he now tells you what kind of spirit it is. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore you have heard that it should come. And even now, 2,000 years ago. It's not a new thing, oh. Even now, it is already in the world. The Antichrist spirit is already here. Now, the Antichrist person hasn't come yet. But the Antichrist spirit is already here. He's been with us for 2,000 years. He has a very lovely... No, the word is not lovely. He has a very cunning operation. If you can't beat him, join him. Satan learned a long time ago that he can't fight the church. Jesus already said, upon this rock, I'll build my church on the gates of hell. So he has joined them. There's no point. You know, the guy who comes to church the most is the devil. I don't know if you know that. And he reads the Bible more than all of you. He knows the Bible better than you. Hello? You can't beat them, then join them. Then, you know, just, you know. And that's what the Antichrist spirit does. He says, the word Antichrist, go and check it in the Greek, it means in the name of Christ, but against the purpose of Christ. That's why he joined us. He comes in the name of Christ. But when you check him out, you will find that where he is going is against the purpose of Christ. But it takes spiritual development and discernment to be able to tell. Because on the surface, it looks the same. Because in the name of Christ. No devil comes with two horns and a pitchfork. You know? I remember when we were kids, we used to read all these silly comics. Wendy the Good Little Witch. And Casper the Friendly Ghost. And there was a little devil, I've forgotten his name. There was another one, you know, had this, people have that impression of the devil. No, he's an angel of light. He has no horns. He's beautiful. Summit of the sum of wisdom. Full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Satan is not the pushover that people try and print him to be. You know, with a tail and everything. No, he's not. If you saw Gabriel Michael and Lucifer, if they didn't tell you, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between them. He's lived in the presence of God. He lived in the presence of God for only God knows how many billions of years before he fell. And he still has some of that beauty and all of that. I know he's depicted as a dragon, but that's just... Satan is no more a dragon than Jesus is a lamb. Oh, come on. Come on. You know, when I was a child, I thought as a child. Satan is not a dragon. Is Jesus a lamb? Is Jesus a lion? So what does the lion and the lamb? It's just talking about aspects of his character and his nature. In the same way, the dragon is talking about aspects of Satan's character. But Satan is not a dragon. He's an angel of light. And if you don't know your Bible and you don't know the word of God, he will deceive you. Because he will come to you as an angel of light. And he will quote you all the scriptures you know and the ones you don't know. There's only one way to know. What is the purpose of what he's telling me? That is, and it takes discernment to do that and patience. So I listen to people carefully. Then I say, at the end of everything he has said, where is he taking me? What is the purpose? Because the Antichrist spirit comes in the name of Christ against the purpose of Christ. Let's go to the next verse. Am I helping anybody here? Hallelujah. Well, today's communion service, so I'll take a little bit of time. You are of God, little children, and I've overcome them. Stop. Them who? Them Antichrist spirits. Keep it in its context. Hello. He says, even now there are many Antichrists. Because many false prophets have come into the world. He said, however, you are of God. Little children, talking about your spirit, level of spiritual growth. So he's not talking to, again, to prove he's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to children. You know? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, to understand this statement, you have to have the knowledge of some other scriptures. And I'm going to give you two of them. First one is in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, causing us to do the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Whenever the Bible says world, always put, and everybody say this after me, say world in the Bible is equal to lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Once you interpret like that, you will always get the right meaning. 1 John chapter 2, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So this spirit, this Antichrist spirit, operates from the air, the prince of the power of the air. It impinges its desires. The word impinge means to fire at, you know, to push at, you know, to push upon. It injects forcefully the desire of the mind, the desire of the flesh, and the pride of life to make you not fulfill the purpose of God. But it will come clothed in the name of Christ. It's in the name of Christ, but it's against the purpose of Christ. So John, by the Holy Spirit, is not telling us how to detect it. He said, you are of God, little children, and I've overcome them Antichrist spirits because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. In other words, the power that is inside you is greater than the power that's in the air. Amen. The power of the devil that is in the air, give me Ephesians chapter 2. Quickly, we'll cut back to this in a minute. Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 2 and 3. It explains it here, you know, so you can get its context. It says, whereby, or wherein, in times past, you walked according to this, the course of this what? Everybody say, world. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's telling us about the world, though. Pay attention. Talk to your neighbor. Say, he's telling us about the world, though. Pay attention. You see, the world isn't just you know, wearing jeans. And all of that is included. But you know, it's not just that. It's a spiritual thing. That now causes all those other manifestations. Are you listening to me? The cause of this world, according, he's telling you how the world operates. To the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, verse 3. Among whom also we all of us, before I got born again and after I get born again, until we had to learn how to walk in the Spirit, in times past, in the what? Lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the what? The desires of the flesh and of the mind. It's all three of them are there. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Hello? Now, let cut back to 1 John. Now, what we're teaching is this, and this is the truth. The Antichrist spirit comes in the name of Christ, but it appeals to the lust of the flesh. It wants to use the name of Christ and the resources of Christ. Do you understand? To fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's how you detect it. Whenever you're hearing any preaching and any teaching, always ask yourself, what is the purpose of this thing? Where is it taking me? And you'll be able to locate it. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Papa Kelly Verner said this about the present day church, the Babylon spirit, and you know, same thing, Babylon spirit, Antichrist spirit, same thing. You know, spirit of Saul, you know, it's all the same, different prophetic symbolisms, but the same truth. And it is this, it's man-centered, it's need-oriented, and it's entertainment-based. Check our churches today. Check them out. Do you understand? I'm not saying all of it, but a great majority of it is directed. The purpose of it is not to fulfill the purpose of Christ, which I'm going to come back to in a minute, but is to fulfill the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Does God want us to prosper? Oh, yes. The Bible says so. The Bible says, in fact, he wants you to be rich, not just prosper. Hallelujah. But he tells you the purpose for the prosperity. He said that he may establish his covenant upon the earth. I want you to enjoy all things richly. But he said, use this world, not as abusing it. He said, so those that have, let them be as if they don't have. Those that read the book, the thing is legally watertight. Yes, God wants us to have the best, enjoy the good things of life, but never to the point where we indulge the flesh and lose sight of the purpose of the Spirit. In order to understand this deeper, let's go back to 1 John. You know, hello somebody. Verse 5. They are of the world. They who? They Antichrist spirits. Therefore they speak of the world. Again, always go and put lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Just equate it in there. You will get the correct meaning of what the man is talking about. And what this? The world heareth them. Have you discovered that some messages don't resonate with some people? Somebody gave this joke. It's a joke, but it's the truth. You know, you try this. You know, try and have a seminar. And say, you know, Holy Ghost Convention. All right? Come and learn how to crucify the flesh. Come and learn, you know, how to endure long and be patient and kind. Come and increase, you know, the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Advertisers spend a lot of money. then take another convention. Holy Ghost Convention. You know? 77 ways of winning. How to get a new job. Marry a wife. Do this, you know. Which one would the crowd go to? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. You know, anointing oil for promotion. Now, you see, the problem with all of that is this. It's not as if God doesn't want us to be promoted. It's not as if God doesn't want us to, you know, succeed. It's not as if God doesn't want us to be blessed. But he has told us how. Seek ye first the kingdom. And he's not blind. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom. And then all these other things shall be added unto you. What's the problem with this other message? It's not that the content in itself is wrong. It's the emphasis that is wrong. And it is appealing to the lusts of the flesh and taking away from the purpose. So it is an antichrist spirit. It comes in the name of Christ. But it's against the purpose of Christ. Now I can't finish this today. But let me just say this. Did you notice what the purpose of Christ was? He has told us. He said, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Now, of course, we know that that means the virgin birth and that Jesus became a man. There's that application. But do you know that the purpose of God for the church is that Christ be manifest in our flesh? That's the purpose. That is the purpose. For he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's his purpose. And he doesn't stop there. He says, speaking the truth in all things, that you may grow up into him in... But he doesn't stop there. He says, being about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest, where? In your mortal flesh. But he doesn't stop there. And he goes on to say, he says, we which live are always delivered unto death. So that the life of God might be made manifest in our mortal body. Hallelujah. If he's taking away from that purpose, it's an antichrist spirit. And the thing about it is that that is the subtlety. It is so subtle. If you don't know the word, and you don't know these things I've shared with you, you will easily... Jesus said it another way. Because it's not new. This has been even from Jesus' time. He spoke to his scribes and the Pharisees. He said, the scribe and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. He said, whatever they tell you to do, do it. That's in line with what Moses has written. He said, but don't do after their ways. He says, they have omitted the weightier matters of the law. They give tithe of anise and cumin. Is it wrong to give tithe? No. No, prosperity message is correct. It's not wrong. But he said they give tithe of anise and cumin and all of these things. He said, but they have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Watch this. These ought they have to have done, and then not to leave the tithe undone. So it is correct to preach a prosperity message. It's correct to preach about, you know, God wants to promote and all that. But you must always add. Don't omit it. Or you open a door for a wrong spirit. You must always add, it's as your soul prospers, bro. That's the condition. Wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Even once you don't leave that out. That omission is like a vacuum. In physics, we say nature abhors a vacuum. Amen? Spiritually, it's the same thing. You leave a vacuum, Satan will come in. Remember the parable where the Bible says, they cast an evil spirit over a man. It says it was swept, but the bad part was empty and garnished. So the evil spirit said, I will go back into my house. Don't leave a vacuum. Don't omit. Once you omit, Satan enters. That is why the scriptures tell us that you must teach the whole counsel of God. This cherry picking of the word of God. I take this one, I don't like this one. I take this one, I don't like this one. I take this one, opens the door to the enemy. And that is why it's so commonplace that we don't even realize. I preached these things in the late 80s and early 90s. Pastor Gregory, remember? Preached about spirit of Babylon. Preached about, people were against me. They thought I was preaching against them. I'm not preaching against you. I'm just telling you the truth. You can't. And look at, that's 20-something years ago. That's 1990. You're looking at 28 years now. Going to 29 years. You understand? See how far we've gone. Error. It's like, if you have 2 points starting from here, and you move out like this, and here is just the difference between them is just like 1 degree. By the time you extrapolate it to, thousands of miles, they're so far apart. And that's what's happened. It's gone way out. See, some of it has become a monster they can't even control. Because if you don't say those things, they won't come to your church. The people have been so conditioned. And that's why he says, I got to close. He says, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. Let's put it this way. The world is lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If people are coming to church to gratify the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that's the spirit they're going to hear. But if they are coming for the purpose, then they want to find out how the life of God will be made manifest in their mortal flesh. Because the true spirit of God says Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Not only when he was a virgin, born of a virgin, but now, today. You know what the Bible says? It says, know you not that Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? The purpose of God, I got to close. The purpose of God, that we be conformed to the image of Jesus, is for we've been born again, we've got the nature of God in our spirits, the life of God. Thank God for that. Amen. But God doesn't want you to stop there. He wants us to use the word of God, the blood of Jesus, the word, the power of the Holy Spirit, to put that nature into the mind, the will, the emotions. But don't stop there. And then put it inside the physical body. That's the purpose of God. The life of God, so that when people see you, they see Jesus. When they touch you, they touch Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 captures it. He says, and I pray God, the God of peace, sanctify you wholly, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto, not after. It's not that it's going to happen after the rapture. Unto. It's a prerequisite for Jesus' coming. It's a prerequisite. Without it, Jesus is not going to come. All these people are thinking there's going to be rapture. Have you heard this? Stay rapturable. Hello. We see all kinds of things. Jesus will come tomorrow. Jesus is not coming tomorrow. He's not coming next week. He's not coming next year. So, Pastor Olubi, how do you know that? I can't see Christ manifest in the flesh. Simple. Hello. When I start seeing Christians who raise the dead after 4 days, and I start seeing Christians who are turning water to wine, and I start seeing Christians who are walking on water. Hello. Hello, somebody. I start seeing Christians who will touch a leper and say, I will, and they're instantly clean. No celebration. No crusade ground. We don't need a band and music and to create, just normal. When I start seeing Christians who, when they touch the hem of your garment, the woman gets healed with the issue of blood instantly. Then I know Jesus is coming.
Once that starts coming to manifestation, and we start seeing, we start hearing and seeing it with frequency, Jesus is coming. Because he cannot come for us until he comes in us. He must first come in us before he comes for us. He's coming for us, no doubt about that. But those are the things, and that's what we need to be looking for now. That's what we need to be striving. That's the Spirit of God, that Christ be made manifest now. Don't listen to the world. See, there are many. That's why I call them false prophets. I preached a message some time ago. You know, you have, you know, true prophets. You have corrupted prophets. You have false prophets. You know, Saul was a true prophet. It was God who called him. When the Spirit of God came upon Saul, the Bible says he prophesied. And they said, is Saul also among the prophets? It wasn't the devil, it was God. But first, somewhere down the line, Saul yielded to the lust of the flesh. Hello? Then the Bible says, an evil spirit from the Lord. So that anointing became corrupted. That's what he's talking about in this context. See, there are many false, corrupted prophets. They've gone out. And how can you tell? They speak of the world. If the purpose of the preaching or the teaching or the prophecy or the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge, if the purpose of the manifestation, whether it's teaching, whether it's preaching, whether it's the gifts of the Spirit, if it is to promote the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, don't touch it. It's not of God. It's not of God. Now let me say something here, you know, to add the balance and get things proper. You know, there are a lot of our brethren, and I call them brethren, I'm not saying they're not brethren at all, you know, who ignorance, carelessness, like Saul, you know, have yielded to some of these things. The good news is that it can be corrected. And that's why you're listening to this message. Those of you who are watching on television or YouTube, it can be corrected. Because God doesn't expect us to continue in it when we get to know the truth. Heart, he said, Pastor, you know, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he says their hearts were pricked. And they said, what shall we do? And I'm going to tell you what to do. Repent. And now preach a holistic message. Don't stop preaching. Don't leave the other undone. Don't stop preaching success. Don't stop preaching prosperity. Don't stop preaching healing. But always put the conditions there. And make sure that in saying all of those things, you keep the purpose of God in line. Because ultimately, the purpose of God is that the life of God be made manifest in our mortal flesh. In fact, it is that time when you will really enjoy the fullness of the prosperity. It is then you will enjoy the fullness of the healing. It is then you will enjoy the fullness. The more the life of God is being made manifest in your soul and body, the more you will enjoy the healing. The more you will get the prosperity. The more you will get the promotion. That's the balance, so that you don't yield to this. The thing is all over the place. The doctors tell us it's endemic. It's there is nowhere in the body of Christ you go. You find those spirits. They're always flying around. And they're in the air. It's always there. You know, it's just looking for anywhere. Once the guy creates a vacuum, the guy just steps in. Just steps in. And you know, the worst thing about it is that, and sadly, you know, this is very sad, but it's true, is that they start getting manifestations. The healings come, the prosperity comes, and all the, then they now become established in that era. I got to give it to Satan. You know, like one man of God said, he's a worthy adversary. You know, as Christians who say, oh, Satan is a nobody, and you don't know him. And because you're childish, that's why you don't know. You know, I'm not praising the devil or anything like that. Don't misunderstand me. But one thing I've learned, and I'm still learning to do, is I put Satan in his proper place. Do you remember the angel said, the Lord rebuke thee? The archangel. He couldn't rebuke Satan himself. He said, the Lord rebuke thee. Because he used to be his ogre. Lucifer was archangel number one. Then there was Gabriel. Then there was Michael. So what I'm saying is this.
You know, you need to understand. I got to give it to him. You know, he played it beautifully. You know, I mean, it's so subtle and it has been so effective till now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are of God, little children, and I've overcome them because greater is it. But the greater one is in us. Hallelujah. And what I've done in this short message is to expose him. So he doesn't need to keep deceiving you anymore. Amen. The greater one is inside you. So with that greater one, now you can overcome the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and still get the prosperity. Amen. Let us pray. Talk to God. Stand to your feet. You still get the prosperity. Sure, God wants us to be prosperous. You still get the prosperity. There's a lot that you have to, get all. The only way you can prosper is by, you know, pandering to the flesh. It's not true. The only difference between the two of them is that it takes time. For he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. I told you the book is legally watertight. No matter where you go, once you take another scripture, you just see the thing comes back to the same message. It's legally watertight. God knows what he's doing. Amen. He wants us to have the best, folks. God wants us to have the very best. But there's a way, and when you do it God's way, it takes a little bit of time. But actually, in the long run, it's actually a shorter time. The one that you're trying to do is short. It's going to take you a much longer time, if you get it at all. You don't want to go that route. You don't want to go, you know, where you're shortchanged and you never fulfill your prophetic destiny. You want to fulfill your prophetic destiny and then enjoy the fullness. The scripture has been bubbling in my heart. And to a degree, my wife and I have been enjoying this to some degree. And God says, you've just started. If they obey and serve me, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. I'm seeing it now. Not there full yet, but I'm enjoying it now. But all my good habits are still in place. I travel. I enjoy the good things of life. But I still get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm still disciplined. I still pray. No, even when I'm on holiday. Even when I'm on holiday, you know, we said we went to Croatia, we go to all kinds of nice places, you know, people invited us and all that, you know, you still get up early in the morning. I still get up at 4. Now pray, you know, I'll pray until maybe about 7 or 8. Then they'll, in the hotel, they'll bring food and say, oh, this one is inside. I say, I'm busy. I call them, I say, I'm busy. I say, bring it at 10. So when I finish my prayer and my Bible reading, then I now call for the food. Then I eat. Then we now call for the concierge. Okay, we want to go out. We enjoy ourselves. God didn't say we shouldn't enjoy ourselves. But seek first. Everybody scream first. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. And touch your neighbor and say, that's daily. At the beginning of the every day, the first thing you seek is the kingdom. The first thing you seek is the kingdom. And that's why God has helped us start the Good Morning Jesus. It's a good forum where you can practice these things. You know, we pray about other things, but the major thing we pray about is kingdom. Seek first. So get up early in the morning and seek first the kingdom. Then the rest of the day, you can enjoy yourself. And even when I'm enjoying myself, you know, we go out, you know, somebody's driving us around, we're taking pictures and all of that. When it's just around noon, I just click, pray. I'm telling you what I do, you know, to show you that it can be done. It's just, you know, that prompting will just come, pray, you know. So I'll either excuse myself. Maybe I go to, especially if I'm with people who are not Christians and they don't understand, you know, I'll say, oh, can we stop? I don't tell them I want to pray. Don't have to be hyper spiritual and try and impress everybody. Because, you know, God doesn't like all that show off. You know, I just say, I need to ease myself. And I do ease myself. But I also ease myself spiritually. So I go to the bathroom. Then, Father, I confess our sins, clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, I have life. I pray in tongues, maybe a minute, two. Then I come back again. Get into the car. Enjoy again. For all things. Then pray again. That's it. It can be done. God didn't say we should. He said, I have given you all things richly to enjoy. But inside that enjoyment, don't forget God.
Amen.
The problem with our guys there is that once they get into Igbadun, they say, Aria continues. Aria, look me. Then God is just put, then the lust of the flesh and everything just comes in and destroys, you know, what you built for 30 years, you destroy in 1 hour. Don't do it. Stay in the spirit throughout. You can. It can be done. I'm doing it. Yet not I, but the grace of God, the mercy of God is with me. I can tell you, I'm enjoying the good things of life, and at the same time, I'm still spiritual. I say this to the glory of God, and as an inspiration to you. You know, averagely, I spend every day 4 to 5 hours in prayer. I'm talking about concentrated prayer. Then apart from that, then I also have my, my once every 6 hours at every opportunity, and I'm in constant communion with God. I'm watching the television, I'm watching a movie, I enjoy things, you know, but God's talking to me. So now I'm watching a secular movie and God will talk to me from the movie. Talk to me, you know, I watch war films, I watch all kinds of nice things, you know, I enjoy myself. But in it all, I'm in communion with God. In it all. And if God talks to me and says, stop, switch that off. I do. You know why? My enjoyment doesn't come from that. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. And at His right hand, there are places where my real pleasure comes from His presence. So anything that's going to take away from His presence, I can switch it off. But like the Bible says, Paul said in one place, he said, I will be brought under the power of nothing. So I'm not a cookaholic. I'm not a... That's those who must drink Coke. I'm not a Sprite-holic. I'm certainly not an alcoholic. You know, you don't have to be anything holic. The only holic you're allowed is a Holy Ghost holic. Now that's allowed. That's allowed. You can be a Holy Ghost holic. That's permitted. But don't be on that. You know, you can turn it off, turn it on. You know, use the world, but not as abusing it. And you know, you go to the rest, and after a while, if the God is not there, you don't get enjoyment from it anymore. I'm not talking to anybody here. Let's talk to God. Talk to God. Hallelujah. 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 Talk to God this morning. You're going to tell the Lord, now, Lord, I've heard your word, and I'm going to seek you first daily. See, seek first kingdom of God is not just where you go for evangelism and you take tracts out and you try and witness to people. No. It's in your daily life. Get up every morning, you seek first the kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Use the blood, the word, and the spirit to pump the righteousness, the peace, and the joy of God from your spirit into your soul, body, and your circumstances through confession of the word, praying in tongues. That's how to seek the kingdom of God first, daily. And He guarantees, you say, once you put that in, He said, the other things will be added. So the healing, the prosperity, all the other things, you need this, you pray about it, you get it. You need this, you pray about it, you get it. You need this, pray about it, you get it. Because you put the cut, you put the in the correct order. I'm not talking to anybody here. Talk to God. Hallelujah. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the risen Lord. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord,
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord,
please come and make your presence known.
Let the life
of
truth of your kingdom reign in us. Hallelujah. Let the weight, glory to God. Let the weight, glory to God. Sovereign Lord, sing it to him. The Holy Ghost is a person. The Sovereign Lord,
and make your presence
come
known.
And make your presence known. Reveal the glory,
the glory of the risen Lord.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. Your presence known, reveal
the glory of the risen Lord.
Let
the weight of your glory
cover us.
Of
your river. Let the weight of
your glory,
hallelujah,
Lord, let
the weight of your glory, let the weight of your glory, cover us,
let it cover us.
One hand on your heart, raise your other hand to God as we respond to God in faith. God has thrown a challenge out to us this morning to try the spirits. And this is not only when there's a prophecy, like I explained, it's not just when there's a prophecy or there's a word of knowledge, it's not that alone. Even the spirit, you see, the Bible says the letter kills, the spirit gives life. Even behind teaching and preaching, what's the spirit behind it? Try it. And he's told you how to know. If the purpose is taking you towards the Christ being made manifest in your flesh, it's of God. If the purpose is to endure the loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of God. It's very simple. It's very simple. Raise that hand. Touch your heart. Say, Father, I confess our sins of prayerlessness, of ignorance, where I have inadvertently yielded to the Antichrist spirit. Father, I thank you. I receive the cleansing of your blood. In Jesus' name we have life. Father, I thank you for opening my eyes that they are to know that there are many spirits, Antichrist spirits, flying around, trying to cause your people to glorify the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But I also thank you for your Holy Spirit who lives in us, that is greater than the spirit of the world, that is empowering the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So I say, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Father, have mercy on me. Help me to keep an honest heart, to try the spirits and check them out, so whether they are of God, so that I will only follow the spirit that is of God. The spirit
that will ultimately cause the Christ life to be made manifest in my flesh. I understand that this is your purpose. And any spirit that is trying to take me away from this purpose, I will not yield to. I will not succumb to. I will not obey. I will not follow. I will only follow the spirit that will cause Jesus and his nature and life to be made manifest in my mortal flesh. God, have mercy on me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. It is not of him that runneth. It is not of him that willeth, but of you that showeth mercy. Have mercy on me and deliver me from this evil and adulterous generation. In Jesus' name, amen. Lingaras, Jiketofres, Tolomashalas, Tofredes, Longiras, Tolomashiketofres, Tolomas, Tufredes, Tolomasho, Tofrenia, Zelia, Yukatofres, Tofrenengar, Tofredesk. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Just before I go to sit down, I want to make an extra clarification. The scriptures tell us that in Nehemiah chapter 8, it says, they read the scripture and gave them the understanding and helped them to understand the sense. Put that scripture on the board. Nehemiah 8:8, I think it is. Nehemiah 8:8. And that's what I want to do now. See, when we talk about spirits here, in this context, see, that's why the Bible is contextual. That's why you have to read everything in its context and find out what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit in that context. Then you get the right understanding. And it will never contradict any other part of Scripture. He's not talking here necessarily about an evil spirit like the madman of Gadara. He's not talking about that. He's not talking about a spirit that comes to possess you. You know, makes you mad, or you know, oppresses you and you behave in, you'd be very normal. It's not a spirit, it's a spiritual force. It's operating in the air. It operates in the mind, the will, and the emotions. It's not a, so you don't cast it out like you're casting out when you're doing deliverance. You cast out, but what you're casting out is its effect. You need to understand that. So when we're talking about, you know, there are many spirits and all of that, he's talking, that spirit can also cause, when maybe there's a manifestation like word of wisdom or word of knowledge or healing, in that case, you know, you can have an actual spirit that is in operation, you know, which is a personality. But in many cases, particularly in this particular context we're talking about spiritual forces. It's in the air. Let me give another typical example. This will help you to get it. Peter, Jesus asked him, he said, who do people say I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, A star. A little bit translation. A star. Peter, you got it, man. You know,
He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father is in the Holy Spirit. A few verses down the road, Jesus began to tell them the purpose. His purpose. He said, the Son of Man is going to Jerusalem, and they're going to arrest him, and they're going to crucify him, and he would die, and the third day he will be raised up from the dead. The same Peter. He wasn't demon possessed. He wasn't demon possessed. This will help you to explain it, you know, to understand it. The same Peter said, this shall not be to thee. What was he yielding to? His emotions. Jesus is his friend. They're about the same age. Maybe Jesus is 30, maybe Peter is 29, I don't know. You know, but they're about the same age. Amen. He's his friend. No magic. You care. Die care. At what age? Thank you. The Bible says we long love God as far as Joseph. You know, because he hadn't read Isaiah 53. You know, that's why you see, you have to interpret scripture in the light of scripture. So he says, this shall never be to thee. Come on, don't say this to yourself. Jesus reacts immediately. Because Jesus knew the spirit that was behind that statement. It wasn't that Peter was demon-possessed. Peter had just yielded to the wrong spiritual force from the air that had operated upon his mind and his emotions to make him say the wrong thing. So Jesus identifies and said, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou, he didn't talk to Peter, he talked to the spirit force. And why did he call it Satan? Satan did not possess Peter. Peter did not become mad. Satan did not enter Peter's body. Satan had sent a signal from the air. And that signal had impinged upon Peter's mind and emotions and make him say the wrong thing to try and get Jesus off his purpose. Jesus recognized it and cast it out. He didn't do a deliverance session. He just spoke and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou serverest not the things that are of God, but the things that are of God, but the things that are of men. Of course, Peter repented. It didn't stop Peter from being number one apostle. That happens to us daily. That's why you have to walk circumspectly. The fact that you got something from the Holy Ghost 1 minute does not immunize you from yielding to those things in the air the next minute. That's why you need to pray constantly, once every 6 hours and at every opportunity. Because the more walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, or you will not yield to these things in the air that will make you fulfill the lust of the flesh. Got it? God bless you.